This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 628, Airborne Pork. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fel and master of demons, Thandeth, the still not a meat shield, Toasty, and the high priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Bringing you your news from the world of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros, and with me I have Allie. How you doing, Allie?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess. We don't have a Toasty. Toasty was shoveling much snow. We got a little bit of snow here in the city, and he was doing a light dusting.
Uh-huh. Toasty missed a show for a light dusting.
I would say many things. However, I would probably also get a lot of them out of me with terms that end with ist, and I don't want to go there. So I'm just going to say I hope that we can have him back next week, and it's just going to be you and I this week there, Allie. How you doing, Allie?
I'm good. I have to do all Toasty's jobs tonight. It's weird. But no, I'm good. It's had a pretty good weekend, pretty chill, had a good day. Yeah. Good. Are we talking WoW stuff, or are we just talking, like, in general?
Well, how was your weekend WoW?
My weekend WoW was pretty fantastic. I got to the Lunar Hearthstone we talked about last week, which I love it because you, like, kneel down and it puts the firework up there and it's blue, which is my favorite color, so it's awesome. And my raid team didn't progress anymore, unfortunately, but I did some research for my Holy Priest. While I'm decent with her, I felt like I could be doing better. So I did a lot of research, kind of changed up my talents a little bit, and my healing style just a little bit. And my healing numbers, like, went through the roof, so I'm super happy with that. And I got my Dark Iron Pally to 80. So I took her over to Pandaria last night.
Well done, which well is done.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm super excited about that. I'm sure I'm totally being Toasty, who's still probably like 75 or something, but I'm having a good time with that. And I've decided that after I'm done leveling her, I'm going to focus on, you know, when I'm not doing my main, I'm going to actually go focus on leveling my Horde alt finally, so I can finally see the Horde story, which is really excited, and I'm looking forward to that. Oh, and I did Island Adventures. I did a lot of them one night. I tried Mythic for the first time, and yeah, Mythic Island Adventures are really hard.
No, thank you. I'll pass.
But honestly, like, I'm glad it's hard. Like, it was truly a challenge, and it should be. I mean, normal should be easy, heroic should be a little bit of a challenge, but fun still. And mythic should feel mythic. It should feel like a challenge. And wow, it feels like a challenge. I think we did 4, and we won one of them. It was really close too. So kudos to Blizz for that, for making it that challenging. That was pretty great. Pretty much if my weekend WoW. Everything else is like little things. Like, I did some world quests. Woo! You know, nothing too exciting. How was your week in WoW?
My week in WoW was not too bad. Didn't do a lot of extra stuff. I spent some time on my second, or my next characters that will eventually ding 120, which is my Alliance Monk and my Draenei Paladin, and was doing some invasions with them, as well as doing some Lunar Festival stuff, gathering the charms, the Elder Charm thingies. And got the... Actually, I already had on my main, I already had enough of the little tokens to get the Hearthstone. And now I've been getting the Alliance Firework, which also gives you the Horde Firework as well. I got the head of the Blue Dragon toy. Next is going to be the body of the Blue... Like, basically, I'm going to make sure I get all the ones in order. So, basically, just using a guide and going through and getting those characters there, all of the ones they can get, so that they can eventually buy everything they need to buy, and then...
So are you getting XP when you go to each elder?
Yes.
Is it a decent amount?
When they have the boost from doing the invasion, which is, I don't know what the boost is, they're getting about 8,600 XP per.
Okay.
So, doing an entire continent, like Eastern Kingdoms or Kalimdor, was getting them about half a level. And then,
not bad.
Yeah, and then the invasion was getting them another about third of a level. So, they're now 160 and 115 respectively. The monk is a little bit higher. But, yeah, they're doing pretty good. The flying is a bit rough. Haven't spent a lot of time flying between places, so it's a lot of remembering where stuff is. Because those characters don't have their maps filled out, so it's interesting. It was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed doing that and collecting the toys. It was a little frustrating on the gear. I missed about 4 invasions this week, so I didn't get as much gear as I would have liked. And literally, like, I did one invasion on my 4 120s. Every single one of them got the exact same item with the exact same item level as they already had in that slot.
Yikes. That's frustrating.
Yes. And then today I did one, or it was last day I did one, and three of them got the item that they have an item for, eye level 400 item in. 370 versus 400, of course, yeah. That was kind of a waste. But I guess this is kind of making me understand how raiders tend to feel sometimes when they get personal loot.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I've done this 8 times now, and I've gotten the same weapon every time that I already have a better one of. Thanks, Flip Blizzard.
You've gotten it so many times that your raid doesn't need it either, so you can't really trade it to anyone. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. It's RNG.
Yeah. So RNGs did not like me this week. I don't like him either. So we're
competitive there. You need to make more sacrifices.
Apparently, I am either not making the right sacrifices or making them for the wrong deity. Because clearly, the demon hunter god, the paladin god, the druid god, and the hunter god don't like me anymore. So
the paladin gods have forsaken you?
Apparently.
What did you do? You're the almighty Medros.
I don't know. Something wrong. Something they don't like me about. So, yeah, gear this week was pretty frustrating. I got a couple upgrades, but not nearly as much as I would have liked. And now I see that we're back to collecting for Arathi Highlands. I think in a few days we'll start collecting again for Darkshore, and we begin the whole process over again, so...
So here's a question. Since you were, flying around in your alts and stuff, do you have the heirloom toys that give you the flight points?
Yes.
Do you not use them?
Yes. But
so were you talking about other...
faster to fly directly in a lot of cases. Because you're flying around stuff and doing fancy flying, and I'd rather just fly direct.
You don't want to do any fancy flying?
I don't mind fancy flying per se, but I'd like to...
What is fancy flying? Are you talking, like, I mean, really, because if you think about it, fancy flying could be when you're doing a whole bunch of spins and stuff.
basically, I don't want to spend the limited time that I have the invasion XP buff for in flight that is wasting time. I'd rather just get to where I need to go and be very direct, because when I did do, like, using flight paths, I found that I ran out of my buff much too fast, so I just preferred to fly myself and have control of my direction and all that good stuff, so it's just a
preference.
Which
totally makes sense. You
are giving me the sass that you will not tell me who instructed you needed to give me a lot. So.
I was instructed to give you sass since Tosi is not here.
By who?
I'm not gonna tell you.
Alright, you're being demoted.
Am I back to interim goes now?
Yes. No, you're not.
Anyways.
But yeah, it was an interesting week. I did do some cooking. Some more cooking this week. Did a bit of profession stuff. I did... if Darkmoon Herald hadn't recorded, like, 15 hours earlier, I would have sent in a sideshow suck to them for what I did today. So I was deciding I was going to go out to farm a recipe for my tailor. My tailor is my priest, who is 111. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I see where this thing drops. I'm familiar with that area. I know exactly how to get there. I already have the flight path for that character, so I'll just fly out there and kill a few mobs, see if I can get it to drop. No big deal. You know, I'll spend 10, 20 minutes out there, see what I can do. In general, it is good to check the level of the mob you're going to kill before you go there and aggro them.
Okay, hold on. So I have my main is a tailor. Which pattern were you farming? Was it the bag?
Yeah, the 32 slot bag. Uh-huh. and Wowhead told me that there's these mobs in Zoldazar that drop them, like people say, like 5, uh-huh. 10 kills and they're getting them. So I'm like, okay, I'll go out there, I'll kill, you know, I got a little bit of time, I can do that, it's no big deal. I'll go out there, I'll kill some mobs, I'll get the pattern, I can start crafting 32 slot bags. I'll be happy, because all my characters can use 32 slot bags, I can use that to level. It's perfect, it's a great idea. Do you think that's a great idea to do that? So, I suspect you have a very decent understanding now of the problem that I ran into as a level 110 uh-huh. character.
Uh-huh. But not everyone does.
The mobs are 120.
Uh-huh.
I had 100 gold repair bill when I got back to Boralus.
Ouch. Did you kill any? Did you get
it? No. I targeted one, and it ran over to me, and it tapped me a couple times, and I was face-planted in the mud. And then I rezzed, and I'm like, okay, I'll just run. And I got three more. Before I got to a place where I could actually hearth, yeah, five deaths.
Ouch.
This is why I don't play clothies very much, because they are really weak.
Well, especially when you're a 110 going up against a 120. Come on.
Yes, that was not that was not a good choice right there.
Don't blame the class, man. Don't blame the class.
I will blame whatever I want. It was not my fault. If I was a pally, I could have done it.
I will say, because I have done that farm, and I don't know if we went to the same place. We may have.
It's the Murloc, but... Naga area.
Yep. Yeah, so that's where I went. I don't know about this 5 to 10 kills thing. Maybe it's my RNG. I think it took me 2 hours to farm for it.
Well,
2.5?
Then basically I need to hire you to come kill for me then. Brazzy can come tank, because he's a warrior. You can heal me, only me, because I will die otherwise.
Let's be honest, Frazzly will go up there, breathe on them, and they'll die. I mean,
I wouldn't say the rest that bad, but okay.
I mean, he's a gnome.
True.
I'm sure there's a gnome joke there that's not coming to my brain right now.
I think their place is a little bit short on breath mints.
Friends,
you're so much fun to bug, man. So much fun to bug. Okay, so let's talk about our first sponsor. Our new sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Marvel, Game of Thrones, and more. That's a highlight of Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko, we're going to keep it the Captain Marvel theme that we had started last week, and this is going to be Carol Danvers on Motorcycle. This is the Pop Rides series they have, and it's really neat. I really like it. It's, well, I think it's a really cool one. I have a few of the Pop Rides. I have Luke Skywalker on a Tauntaun, I believe, and I have a speeder one for Luke Skywalker, and I think, but I don't know for sure, I think I have Wonder Woman in her jet. But this is the Captain Marvel one to go along with the Captain Marvel movie coming out next month, and I think it looks really cool.
It really is.
Her hair is even kind of blowing back a little bit, so you can tell the motorcycle is actually like in motion, and this is definitely one you'd want to set up like on a shelf, like so you can see the full majesty of it. I, of course, would just leave it in a box, but that's just collectible me. So this is one of the cool ones. You can find this over on their site, and it is really, really worth checking it out. If you want to check out this or any of the others, you can go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. I want to thank Funko for their support of the show. So it's a new month. Tell us what's coming up in WoW this month.
Oh, so many things. It's going to be a great month. So this week, February 3rd to the 9th, we have Dark Moon Fair. So any of you leveling alts, if you are trying to get some profession points, or if you're just grinding reps, make sure you go visit it. We also have this week, the 5th through the 11th, we have our dungeon bonus event. So you go do some BFA dungeons, which are awesome. We also have our PvP Brawl of the Deepwind Dunk. Lunar Festival is currently going, and it ends on the 11th, so make sure you go honor those elders and get your toys. Love is in the Air will be after that, the 12th through the 26th. The second wing of Battle of Dazar Lower LFR will open up on February 12th. And the 12th through the 19th will give us our pet battle bonus event. The 19th through the 26th will be Burning Crusade Time Walking, which I'm really excited about. The 19th to 26th also will be South Shore versus Tauren Mill. February 23rd is the Hatching of the Hippogriffs event, which is pretty fun. The third wing of Battle of Dazar Lore opens February 26th as well for LFR. And last but certainly not least, the 26th through March 4th will give us our Arena Skirmish event. So a very packed but awesome month.
Great. Tell us about Mythic Progress now.
Oh man, Mythic Progress. So, no winners yet for the Mythic Battle of Dazar Lore race. Everyone, well not everyone, 23 guilds are stuck on 8 out of 9 bosses. And it makes me giggle because they're all stopped on the same boss, which is the... I think it's the barricade boss, if I remember right. And, which means it's doing its job. It's keeping everyone back. So, in first right now, we have Limit on the Illidan server. Next up is Method over on EU Tauren Mill. And then after that, third, we have Pieces over on EU Draenor. Fourth, we have a name that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I believe it's Czechoslovakian or something Russian, maybe.
Yeah, something. Russian.
Yeah, so definitely don't know that one, but they're in fourth. In fifth, we have AFKR, which is an Ashara. And then number six, we have Memento. Some Frost Whisper. So we kind of expect to see Limit and Myth in there. It's cool to see some other names in there as well. And so far, no one has gotten to our last boss of Jaina. So they're, as Frasley says, pushing it to the limit. Facepalm. So the battle will continue this week, and we'll see if we have a winner. I do think that I read that there were some changes made to the Jaina fight. So that might change up some strategies of some of these guilds as well. So it's going to be an interesting race.
I just want to see a U.S. team take it.
It's a very interesting one because a lot of these teams are streaming it live. But the one in first place, Limit, is not streaming it live. And they're the one, if I remember right, and I could be entirely wrong, but I believe they're the ones that switched to Alliance to get some of the level 400 gear last week. So, and they're not streaming. So it's going to be really interesting to see who pulls this one out. But right now, Limit is the only U.S. guild that's high up on this race. But who knows? I mean, 23 guilds are at 8 or 9. So who knows? We could get a U.S. one.
Yeah, it is Limit that changed their faction to Alliance, and if they're changing their faction to Alliance to get that one piece of gear for each of their players, leads to them to win the progression race, I can see the reaction now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I'll have to see. I'm going to be watching it closely this week. I'm really curious, because this is week 3 now of the raid. So, we should see some progress this week, I would believe.
Well, yeah. I want to see a U.S. team win, but I suspect that what is going to happen if they end up winning is that it'll be said that they won because of that faction change and that extra gear, not because they were the better team.
Yeah, but having said that, anyone could have made that choice. And they chose to do it. So, I don't know. It was definitely an interesting move on their part. And I think a lot of people are kind of just waiting to see what happens, especially because since they're not streaming it.
Yeah.
Like, more and more teams are streaming at this raid. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, nope, we're not going to.
We shall see how that ends up, I guess.
Indeed. So I believe there was a pretty cool interview that happened recently.
Yeah, there was an interview that Jeremy Feasels, who many players would probably know better as, I believe, Muffinus on Twitter. He had an interview with Talisian and Evitel. I'm not sure who they are, but they talked a little bit about a variety of things, such as Island Expeditions. They went a little bit into what's coming up in Island Expeditions. And they did outline that Crestfall is the new expedition in 8.2. And there'll be dragon skeletons, griffin rider hammers, cannon towers, destroyed battleships, and more. Basically, it will tell a micro story, such as this is where the humans would have built their barracks, but now it's a rundown and destroyed castle.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love story. I love hearing more story, more lore. It's great. He did say that maybe in normal island expeditions there you could have more time to do exploring and less time pressure. The team may experiment with this in patch 8.2. I would love that. Again, story. Yeah. Give me more story, please. More story, please. All the story. He did say that the new brawl in patch 8.1.5 that puts players up against a AI in a Arathi Basin. And it'll be the first big use of the new AI tech outside of Island Expeditions. And this is an opportunity to give the AI meta battleground strategies, should the AI jump off the cliff and slow fall down to the blacksmith and stuff like that. They did also say that whenever the team develops a story, they keep in mind the story that is going on throughout the entire expansion. One in this expansion is Sylvanas' rise to power, how she's using it, and how people react to it. That's a key on how to get Nazjatar and what happens there. You also have some impact on your surrounding area in Nazjatar. You're meeting a group that is indigenous to the Nazjatar area and helping them out, which has its own local impacts. there'll also be impacts outside of that area of the on the world itself. They did address a little more on allied races as well. They said that the team really loves the allied race system and thinks it's a very strong system, and the team does plan to add more allied races, but nothing to announce at this point. And this is something that'll be really happy for a lot of people. The team is pulling away from gating content with quests that require you to collect thousands of shards and instead focusing on big story quests that you can complete and feel like you've got an awesome story reward for your playing through a space. And I love that idea. Give me more story any time of the day.
I know that's been a lot of people's complaint over the last couple of expansions, so good on Blizzard.
Yeah, then they went into talking more about Nashtar and Mechagon. And I'm sure somebody in our chat might be very happy about this. They said that you'll be you'll be introduced via big cinematic moments, unlock your hub, meet your new friends, and then they've got a new bodyguard system. Your bodyguard will be leveled up, gaining additional stories and abilities as you're leveling them up. The new quest will tell you about the new races, giving you drips of story. And I like that idea. That's very much how I feel the companion system works in Diablo, where you're having these people come along with you. They're with you on the journey. You're hearing their story, learning about their past and all the stuff they've gone through and they've done as you go through the story with them and with them by your side. So that's really awesome. You'll also have a whole new set of world quests, and I'll say this, but I don't know that I believe it yet. They say it is unlike anything the team has done previously for world quests. I'd like to actually see that, because I've yet to see a world quest they've done that I felt was not a minor tweak to something they already did in a world quest scenario. They just say there may periodically be public events that pop up similar to Legion Assault system. You can join in the scenario in the world with everyone and finish it. And the team wants to double down on the feeling of an exploratory sandbox. You should still see things for the first time, even a couple months into playing. What do you think of that?
I'm excited about a lot of things coming up. I know personally I'm enjoying the world quests, and some of them are still, you know, go here and kill, you know, 12 of this night. But I feel like there's been some more unique ones that I'm really enjoying for world quests. So I'm excited if they're going to sit here and tell me that they're doing ones that they've never done previously. So that's really cool. The next line in that interview you missed was that Mechagon is going to be an entirely separate direction in terms of how content is unlocked and what it turns into.
Sorry, I must have looked over it.
It's the one like right after. It's, and that line right there intrigues me because, well, dungeons are my thing. But so that's saying that there's going to be a dungeon that has different content involved in how it's unlocked and what it turns into. Like, that really intrigues me. I'm super excited to see what that's going to be and what they're going to do with that. And there's a lot of, it seems to be an overall theme of fresh and new and unique. I think Blizzard is realizing that, or probably have for a while, that this game is getting a little old, and so they are doing what they can to breathe some new life into it, do new things, change things, upgrade things. And personally, I think it's coming out really well in BFA, and even just in the raids alone, you know, they've been really unique mechanics, and the fact that they can come up with new things after 14 years is fantastic. So I'm super excited for what they're doing. But I think everyone should definitely take a look at this interview, because Taliesin and Evatel are fantastic they are fantastic YouTubers. I can talk. And it definitely had a lot to share in this interview.
Yeah, it was a really interesting interview. And there was a question at the end about secrets. And they said that Jeremy said that there isn't a dedicated team working on secrets. These are just passion projects that people are being given the opportunity to add to the game. So that's really good to hear that this is something people are actually so passionate about, that they are actually, like, working on this and not something that is an assignment that they've been given, which, yeah, it's a really good way of doing things, I think.
That's really cool, for sure.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next topic, then.
Our next topic is a new in-game mount.
Holy flying footballs. In-game
shop mount. What was that name again?
I said holy flying pork balls.
or airborne pork, as you called it. So the new mount is Hogrus, Swine of Good Fortune. And it's pretty cool. This is for Year of the Pig. I think it's actually Year of the Boar, but, you know, pig, boar. And it will be on the... It is in the in-game shop for $25. And I know Chinese players are getting it for 6-month subscription, just like how we got the boat. So it's good times. And from what I've seen in videos and from what I've heard from people, it's pretty cool. It's a pig, and he goes hopping around, and then he goes flying in the air. And I'm told that when he, hops around and, goes flying in the air, he actually has, bags of coins that, jiggle around and stuff. And what they do, and it looks really cool. I have not gotten it yet, but I may have to get it eventually, because I think it's pretty fun. What do you think about it?
I am surprised I actually have not seen one in-game. I would have thought I would have seen one by now. So, yeah, I mean, as long as it's being done for the right reasons. As a mount, I want to see somebody with it in game so I know what it looks like for me. But I'll probably get one, honestly, because I can.
Something about you having a ton of gold or something. I don't know.
I've only made a small amount of gold this week comparatively.
Oh, okay. I'm really excited about it. I have a couple guildies that have it, and I've seen a couple other people post videos of them having it, and I think it looks really cool. Last year they did the whole Year of the Dog thing, and I love my dog mount. I still ride it often. And so I think it's really cool that they're doing another thing to go along with that, just like they did last year. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's really good to see them do this. And there are people who have issues with it. And I saw some conversations on Twitter that I was a little unhappy about the way that people were reacting to this. But yeah. We'll talk a bit about that when we do a question of the week for the week coming up. Overall, it's a really cool looking mount. For those who like mounts, if you aren't a huge fan of big flying pigs, then don't get one. Oh, it is.
The tricky part about this now is all those "when pigs fly" jokes, because, well, they're flying now. So there is that.
Indeed. So yes, if you want to get one, go ahead. I think it's $25 from the store. So
yep.
Have at it. All right, back to me.
Back to you.
So there have been questions for a little while, at least, about what the requirements are going to be for the Kultron and Zandalaris. Now, the thing to point out is that people are asking questions that I kind of feel like they are givens at this point. They're knowns already. One person was asking whether unlocking Kultrons would also unlock Zandalari, and none of the other ones have been like that. Each race has their own unlocks. You have to do that race's unlocks on that faction in order to do it. Unlocking the Dark Irons isn't going to give me Magikar Orcs. It never did. Unlocking Lightforged Draenei did not give me the Nightborn. So, you know, those are things that are logical and should be understood pretty clearly that that's going to be the case. But there was a lot more information on this in the thread here. They are still working on the process for this, but it does sound like anything remaining when this patch launches will be achievements. It will not require raiding. It will not require dungeons. It will just be, you know, do this achievement, get your X new allied race, whichever it may be. So, the thread here was written by Barnack, who's one of the community managers at Blizzard. He said that for Alliance to unlock the Call to Arms, you'll need to get the achievement Tides of Vengeance, completing the Tides of Vengeance war campaign. You have to complete the achievement at Nation United, completing the following achievements and quests on the continent of Kul Tiras. You'll have to be Lore Master of Kul Tiras. You'll have to have the Pride of Kul Tiras achievement. And you'll have to be exalted with Pradmore Admiralty. The unlocking for Zandalari will be very similar. Again, completing the Tides of Vengeance, Zandalar Forever, and basically unlocking all the stuff for your characters on the Horde side. And, of course, getting exalted rep with Zandalari Empire. So I think this is a very, very easy to complete unlock, I think. What do you think?
I think it is. For people who haven't maybe played a whole lot of BFA, they might be a little behind. But I believe all of these things, I think I'm done for the Alliance, or mostly done. So I think it's not asking too much, and I think it's good. And just so everyone knows, one of the things is completing your war campaign for your faction. At the end of the war campaign, you do get that quest to go into the raid. It does not include that quest. You don't have to go into the raid. And like, for example, I wanted to go kill Rastakhan. I don't have to go kill Rastakhan. So it's everything up until that quest for the war campaign. I know there's been some debate on that, so it does not include going into the raid. It's okay. But I'm really excited. I'm going to make a Kul Tiran monk. I've already decided. Super excited about that. Are you going to make anything?
I have not decided yet. I have too many characters right now that I'm trying to level up. I'll come back to that when I have a chance to, think of something I haven't done yet.
I have a monk, but I think it's super little and barely out of the Pandarian zone. But I kind of decided, because the Kul Tirans, they're such a unique body type for this game, and I'm really excited about them, plus the hints of piracy and everything. But I feel like I could put a lot of myself into them because they are that unique. And a monk, they help people, which is what I do. They, take the damage for people if they have to, which I've done before. And they drink, because they're brew and everything. So I like them a lot, and I'm really excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've got it all planned out. Might be the most, Ali-like tune I make it. Maybe, and we'll see.
I assume I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway for the sake of asking. Pirate look?
Well, of course.
Yeah, figured.
And I've got the hat, so I need to play around. I need to level up my rogue a little bit so she can get some of the more pirate transmogs. I really, actually really need to do that. She's sitting at 110. I miss her dearly. So then that way I can give my monk a very good pirate look. I'm excited to see what their allied gear is going to be looking like. Because I don't think they've posted that yet. They've shown pictures of them, but the official, allied race gear, I don't think we've seen yet. Have we?
Looks like it's on Wahed, actually.
Is that the official one, or is that just what they're being shown
in? Culture and Human Heritage Armor.
Well, I'm super excited about getting that, so.
Yeah, I think you'll like the female.
And it's probably what they've been showing them in the whole time, so.
Yeah, it's very piratey, very seafaring.
I will be getting that for sure.
I figured.
It looks so good. Oh, man. There's so many great things to do this expansion. I love it.
All right. Well, what can I be as a Kul Tiran? Where are their race?
Yeah, I know. I know Frasley brings up Druids becoming Kul Tirans. I know that's one of the most popular choices because the Kul Tiran Druid different specs, like their forms look fantastic. So druid fans really should look into that.
All right, so I could be a druid, a hunter, a mage, monk, priest, rogue, shaman, or warrior. I already have two monks. I already have two druids. I only have one priest, but I don't think I want to be a priest for a second time. That was already hard enough once. So maybe hunter?
You don't want to be a warrior?
No. Why would I want to do that?
I don't know. I just can picture you and Tosi, you know, having warrior arguments about who's the better warrior, me just sitting back with some popcorn. So I like that idea.
I think you just want to cause a fight between me and Tosi.
It's entertainment for the listeners.
We shall see. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even started on the Tides of Vengeance war campaign, so.
It's really cool, and I know you may not do the raid anytime soon. Hopefully you at least step into LFR. But it's cool because it really introduces you to some of the bosses in Battle of Dazar'a lore. So I felt like that was a pretty unique way. And some of them are pretty fun. You get to hang out with my boyfriend Flynn for a little bit with one of them, and I love it.
And does your husband know about this boyfriend?
Oh, he's fully aware. Okay. He supports it. He understands. He gets it. He's like the Han Solo. Wow, you can't deny that.
All right. I just need to get some other stuff done before I begin on that. That's all. When I've done that, though, I'm all for that. All for going to that. All right, let's talk a little about our next topic, shall we?
So last week after we recorded, there was some class tuning updates that came out. A lovely blue post about it. Obviously, we're not going to go over every single change for every single class, but if you are a Death Knight, a Druid, a Hunter, or a Warrior, you might want to go take a look at the post. There's been some increases, some decreases, you know how these things go. They've also, based on, you know, research and how Azerite's working out and stuff, they've also made a number of Azerite changes for the Heart of Azeroth and all the talents. A lot of things have been reduced, but there's also been some increases, and I think it's for pretty much, yep, for every class. And also some PvP ones. So if you have not seen this yet, go take a look. You know, I'm not going to sit here and talk about every single one, but some of them, you know, impact every type of Azerite gear. So definitely take a look, because, you know, that's what Blizzard does. You know, once they see how we're playing and how things are going, they take a look at those stats and adjust where they need to help balance things out, because that's what you do with MMOs. So good on them for working it out. Some of these increases were big. Like hunters, a couple of their things got increased by 100%, which is crazy. So a lot of balancing happened with this recent little update. So if you are curious, you should definitely go take a look.
See, Azerite armor is something that's kind of weird to me. And that is, I feel when I'm choosing stuff, I am selfish. And I feel bad. A little bit. But not as much as I think I should. Basically, any trait that says party member, I ignore.
Well, and that makes sense, because your particular play style tends to be a little more solo-based. Am I correct?
100%.
Yeah. So that completely makes sense. And then really, that's not being selfish, you're just picking what matches for your playstyle. And that's really what you should do.
Yeah. But I feel like I feel like by choosing that, I am choosing or saying I am not going to do this. And that doesn't seem fair to me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you started playing with people more often and you wanted to, you can always reforge them.
True.
They've decreased the amount over time that increases by when you, you know, reforge it, so it's easy enough to change. But I mean, ultimately, it is your Azerite gear, and you should pick what you want to pick with it. I don't think that's selfish. I mean, Blizzard chose those options for a reason, so if that's what you want to pick, that's what you want to pick.
Yeah, I wonder sometimes if I'm actually picking the best option, simply because I don't want to provide stuff to other people. Like, I don't know if I'm ignoring important stuff, stuff that I should be focusing on because it'll actually be beneficial towards me, only because it'll also be beneficial to others who I'm never with.
Right. Which, that's why I have a hard time picking which talents, because especially with my Holy Priest, I tend to min-max a little bit just so I can heal as much as I can, because I have raid team members who don't know how to avoid mechanics. But like, for example, on Shadow, I tend to just pick the ones that I think sound the best and fit my playstyle the best. But when I'm really wanting to know, am I picking the best one, that's when I start looking at Wowhead or Icy Veins, or there's a priest website I use. You know, like, there's tons of info out there to help you choose if you would like some guidance.
Yeah, see, I've tried to use Icy Veins before, but a lot of stuff is like, oh, for multi-target, use this rotation and this spec. For single target, use this rotation, this spec. And I'm like, but I'm not changing my thing every fight because I now have 5 mobs instead of 1.
Right.
So I feel like their classification of talents and rotation just does not fit with me, I guess. Maybe that is just me, though. Maybe I'm just being picky. I don't know.
Maybe you are.
Who knows?
And maybe you're not. Who knows? I don't know.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's talk about our last news topic. And this is something I actually picked out because I am interested in this. Around the end of the last expansion, there was a class that realized that one of their key features of Legion was going away soon. And they began asking pretty quickly, what's going to happen? Where is Hattie going? And Blizzard said they were going to bring Hattie along eventually. This is actually going to happen now in patch 8.1.5. It's actually on the PTRs now. And I am very glad to hear that, because I have missed Hattie. Hattie's a pretty cool pet. Little companion to go along with my other pet. And I don't even know that Hattie actually did any extra damage or had any extra effect on the fight. Just, it was a fun thing to have around. And I miss it. We do know that there'll be a few things that will be coming alongside Hattie with this new patch. And there's some customization stuff. So there's the charged Sparkstone. And then when you use that, it brings out the latent power in Hattie's lightning, visually enhancing Hattie's abilities. There's Iron Spine Protocol, which enhances Hattie's size and constitution, allowing for mounting, which I can think of a few shorter hunters that might be interested in mounting their pet.
That's pretty cool.
Then there is Jolt Jerky, which has use of Feed Hattie a Special Treat, healing a small amount of damage. Sometimes Hattie may become too excited and viciously lick your face, dealing nature damage.
I love that so much. It's so good.
Then there is Rubber Ball, which, of course, you throw a ball for Hattie. And this is my personal favorite, and this is the Voltweave Fez, because everybody needs a Fez. And you can give a Fez to Hattie.
That's awesome. I love this. Hunter is one of those classes I've always wanted to sit down and level and enjoy, because I love that whole relationship between the hunter and the pet. Probably because I had that relationship with my dogs. And I've always wanted to, never really had the chance. So I didn't get to experience Hattie, but I've talked to enough hunters and know how legitly heartbroken they were about losing Hattie. So I'm really excited for you, hunters. I hope this is as amazing as you want it to be. And honestly, I think I need to level Hunter soon. I don't know when, but I'm gonna do it because I really need to. I need to experience Hattie for myself.
You need a Fez. Fezzes are cool.
No. Well, I'm pretty sure I've got some Fez transmog or something. I think.
I would actually consider wearing a Fez. In game, at least. Right now, I have no helm on. It's invisible.
I have a pirate hat, but I'm sure that comes as no surprise.
I'm shocked to hear this. I never would have imagined that.
I know, it's scandalous.
It's almost like you're into pirates or something.
I don't know, man. Something.
Or something.
Or something.
All right. But yes, if you are a hunter missing your Hattie, double check those out when this next patch goes live. It should be interesting. All right, let's talk about our second sponsor, shall we?
Yes. So today's show is also brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week, we're going to be looking at the book Quidditch Through the Ages, which makes me sad that Toasty's not here because Harry Potter. But it was written by J.K. Rowling and narrated by Andrew Lincoln.
The year 1473 saw the first ever Quidditch World Cup, though the nations represented were all European. The non-appearance of teams from more distant nations may be put down to the collapse of owls bearing letters of invitation, the reluctance of those invited to make such a long and perilous journey, or perhaps a simple preference for staying at home. The final, between Transylvania and Flanders, has gone down in history as the most violent of all time, and many of the fouls then recorded had never been seen before. For instance, the transfiguration of a chaser into a polecat, the attempted decapitation of a keeper with a broadsword, and the release from under the robes of the Transylvanian captain of 100 blood-sucking vampire bats. The World Cup has since been held every 4 years, though it was not until the 17th century that non-European teams turned up to compete. In 1652, the European Cup was established, and it has been played every 3 years since.
So again, that was Quidditch Through the Ages, written by J.K. Rowling and narrated by Andrew Lincoln, which is fantastic because I actually did not know that Andrew Lincoln has done a narration. And for those of you who don't know, that's Rick Grimes from Walking Dead. That is his legit accent and voice. So anytime I get to hear that in interviews, I absolutely love it. So hearing a book narrated by him is fantastic.
Is he dead yet?
No, well, I can't, spoilers, dude. I can't talk about it.
All right, well, let's talk about our question of the week. So our question of the week from last week was, given the recent trend of holiday hearthstones, which is your favorite, or what are you looking forward to?
So we have Zakad, Utah, said there's a trend. Only two I know of are the Archaeology one and the Wintervale one. What else is there? Not counting Garrison and Dalaran ones. And in reply to that, Geodesic Dragon, I'm sorry, I'm not great with names, said that Garrison and Dalaran hearthstones aren't holiday related though. There are 7 holiday themed hearthstones, some of which we haven't seen yet, but they are Brewfest, Noble Garden, Love is in the Air. So that is a great point, and I'm really excited. Spectacular Death said Headless Horseman's Hearthstone, which I used often. And White Polar Bear Mount said, I've used Innkeeper's Daughter for years, but the Hollow's End stone was cool enough to take its place. Totally agree.
Wookie BH says, I've been fine with my main Hearthstone, so I have no interest in the holiday ones. They are nice, I guess. Presley says, I really like the Diablo Anniversary one, that's Drum of Tristram. You know, for some reason, I don't have the sounds turned on, so I've never actually heard that. But I do have the 12-string guitar that does the Diablo tune there. So Zeph says, I think we may need a unicorn hearthstone. Zeph, I'd like to clarify what holiday that's going to be related to. Is it like Unicorn's Day or something? Let me know. Capo says, I used the Innkeeper's Daughter for years, but the Hell's End one is now my favorite. So clearly the Innkeeper's Daughter was very popular for a long time, but has been replaced by the Headless Horseman.
Hellbrew Fest.
Indeed.
So excited.
Next week's question. Now, I'm going to give some context to this, because I want people to understand the reason I'm asking this. And I want to see... The reason I'm asking this is I want to see if I'm the only one who feels this way. And that is, I saw somebody who had replied to the fact Perky Pugs has given away a couple of the new mounts, the Flying Pig, or Holy Flying Pork Balls. And basically was very upset that they were promoting Blizzard having purchasable items as well as subscription. The person seems to clearly feel that you should either have a subscription or items you purchase to support the game. Not both. We have a lot of mounts. We have a lot of pets. We have helms. We have shareable mounts with the look you can apply to using the hitch thing. How do you feel about the regular addition of cosmetic items for purchase that give no competitive advantage while there remains a subscription to WoW? That's the question of the week, and I want to get a feel for whether I'm alone in feeling like competitive advantages are one thing. If they were selling a eye-level 450 sword for $10, that's different than a mount or a pet that gives you no advantage in the game. And that's where I kind of draw my line of, does what they are doing change the ability for a player to compete? What do you think, Allie?
I personally have no problem with it. I agree in that if they were to turn around and have it be something that would actually give a competitive advantage, that would probably end up being the death of WoW, because the outcry from that would be intense. None of these things give you a competitive advantage, though. I mean, unless riding around on a pig makes you feel better and somehow that gives you the competitive advantage, but they don't like legitimately give advantage. And it doesn't bother me personally that while I'm paying for a subscription, there are these extra pets and mounts and transmog items that you can pay. Yes, it's extra, but they also have put extra resources into creating these things. And I think it adds some flavor to the game. It adds some personalization to the game. They've been doing it for years now. Obviously, it goes over well because they keep doing it. Oftentimes, it's actually for charity. And they're fun. So I personally am not bothered by it. I'm glad they do it. It's kind of a way to say thank you to the player base. Yes, we are paying the subscription. I get that. But they do put those resources into making these extra things for us. If you don't like them, you don't have to buy them. But we have the option, which is really fun. Because they're fun things.
Cool. I clearly am fine with it. I wrote the question. I have my own opinions on it. I feel like the person who asked the question of Perky Pugs was being very aggressive and clearly has an issue with Blizzard as a company doing what they need to do to continue making money. Yes, they could raise the subscription rate. Absolutely possible that... Nothing wrong with that at all. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather they keep that low and then give people the opportunity to purchase other stuff, either via tokens using Golden from in-game or via cash. And those who don't agree with that have the right to their opinions. I personally just disagree with their opinions.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you want to support Blizzard by buying these things, cool, do it. If you don't want to, that's fine. We're kind of going back to the whole, let people do what they want to do. Let people enjoy what they want to enjoy. You don't have to knock them for enjoying it. I think it's great that Perky Pugs is doing that. And of course they're going to support Blizzard because they want to. They enjoy what's happening. So I don't understand. I think it's just unfortunately another case of people are going to cling onto whatever little negative thing and spin it in a really toxic way. I mean, a lot of people are complaining about the pig being put on the shop mount or putting on the store. Yet we had the dog last year. And no one, there wasn't this big uproar about it last year. I think it's just unfortunately we're at a time where people are going to take every little negative thing they want and use it.
I agree. And if they choose to do something like this, like they did with the one that we got, the boat, I'm fine with that. The boat's pretty cool.
That's how China's getting it. It's for the 6-month subscription.
It's pretty cool. I'm fine with Blizzard doing it. I understand there are people who aren't, and they have a right to their opinions. I just personally disagree with their opinions. So, what do you guys think? Let us know what you guys think in either Discord or on Twitter when we put out the question of the week, which is roughly Thursday now, and we will read your answers next week. Hey, Allie, what, you know what was next?
What?
What's your shout-out?
Oh, shout-outs. I was so nervous about having to read the outro that I didn't think about shout-outs. Oh, man, I've been so prepared so well the last couple weeks, and this week, for some reason, it took me off guard. My shout-out is to Dear Toasty for reading the outro every week and this Audible sponsor every week and for being a nice guy and helping dig people out of snowy places. Because he's awesome. So shout out to Toasty.
All right. My shout out is going to be to everybody who's had to put up with a lot of snow this week. It's not fun. And apparently Texas and California aren't sharing their weight. They aren't taking their share of the snow. We're going to have some meetings, talk about it, and see what we can do about moving some of the snow down south. That's all I can say. Because this is just ridiculous. Share the load, guys. Share the load. And now guess what?
What?
Outro.
So, if you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find us on Twitter. You can find the show at All Things Azeroth, or All Things AZ. You can find Medros at Medros. You can find Fandeth at Fandeth. You can find Toasty at Toasty Posty Can. You can find me at Aliander's K. And you can find us in general at Dawnforge. Join our new BattleNet group at bit.ly/BNetATA. And please check out our other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of another Dark Moon Fair.
Bye!
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.